We got a few minutes for questions. So for Brian, Jen, and Jeff. Also, of course, as always, we're really it's really great to have Bill Crispin here, and he's going to close us out after the time of questions. So let me just open the floor for questions of these three wonderful.
Now you can hear your questions through me to these folks. So we want to. We'll go until like 12:30, so we'll be out of here by that time. So, questions? All heard now. Yeah,
Dave. Maybe you can help me with this, Bill. My sister has gone down to a little country called Belize.
Sure.
And she has met some people there, helped them with some medical things. She belongs with, I think, Help the Children or something. Mm-hmm. Brings children into the States for operations. And I've talked to her about it. She's been going down there for about 10 years. She helped a little child with a cleft palate about 10 years ago. And so she always checks up on a child. So they go down like twice a year. But I asked her about this village. Apparently it's a Christian village. And I think there's a battery that they have to run the a light bulb, you know, when they're doing different things. They're out in the jungle, and so I said to her, I said, well, what would you bring to that country, I mean, that village, to help them? Now, see, in the States, we look at it like someone's poor, he doesn't have what I have, I'm going to give him. And she had helped them in two ways. She had brought some drugs down in case anybody got sick, that she was given, a doctor gave us, Dr. Brock gave us some different things. And then she also brought some goats down so that they would have milk, right, so that the kids could have milk if there was a problem with feeding them. But I think the interesting thing, we sat there, I said, well, what would you bring them from America? I mean, she's rich, in other words, compared to where they are. And, you know, we sat there and we said, well, we really don't want to bring them anything because we don't really have anything to give them. In that sense of material goods, because they're fine. In other words, they're in a warm climate. You know, they have some clothes. They have their own little house to live in, and they're living there peacefully, beautifully. You know, before the Lord. So, in other words, do you want to bring all these things that we have in America? I mean,
Tupperware.
Anyway, it was just interesting.
Yeah, well, the nature of ministry is not to bring them up to our lifestyle, especially if it's over here.
Exactly.
I mean, how helpful is that really going to be? But I think if we were to come alongside of them and hear from them what would really be helpful, we might be surprised what would happen. Two very, very, very creative partnerships that I'm aware of that are doing extraordinary things in third world places are the Haitian ministry that Donnie St. Germain, who's a pastor of Haitian church El Shaddai in Miami, Florida. He's done a lot of leadership training, so there are now 13 Haitian PCA churches in South Florida. But they all have connection to family in Haiti. Haiti's the poorest place in the whole, our whole hemisphere. And they have come alongside of leadership in Haiti. They don't do leadership training down there the same way we would do it, because they don't have the luxury of time to do it the way we would, where you're going to school, you know, like a full-time student or that kind of thing. They go down 1 week a quarter and do intensive evening stuff, training pastors. And it really becomes the stuff that these pastors are preaching the next quarter. You know, in 1 week they teach them through enough sermons to preach the rest of the quarter. Out of that, this hunger for more learning has gone on. And they've begun to do things. But they can't leave CDs for them to listen to because they don't have electricity, let alone a CD player or whatever. But they have now come alongside the pastors, and they develop a very, very inexpensive loan fund. Land is cheap. And every pastor now has 1 to 5 acres of land where they do self-sustaining farming for themselves. And then unemployment in Haiti is huge. It's like 70% are unemployed in Haiti. They landed up creating three businesses that now employ several hundred people for basic staples of life. They have an ice factory in three places making ice because nobody has a refrigerator. They have ice boxes. You know, if they're gonna preserve anything through that means, they have ice boxes. So they have an ice factory that sells ice very inexpensively as a basic staple of life. They now have seven bakeries that make, and these are not bakeries as we would know them. All that they make are these little biscuits that is a basic staple of life. Sometimes for people, that's their whole noon meal are these little biscuits. But they now make these biscuits and are really the biscuit industry of Haiti and employ many dozens of people in the making of them and the distribution. They actually carry around baskets and sell them on the street. And then they have a tilapia farm, fish farm, that is now, they've been able to add fish into the diet of people there. And they're all self-sustaining things. There are no outside dollars come in. This is all self-sustaining stuff that they're doing in Haiti. And there's an orphanage there, that they're doing. And they're doing it, you know, if you saw the budget of all this stuff, it's pitifully low. And, you know, when they build a church down there, all that they do is put up six poles and a thatched roof. You don't need walls because it's warm all year long, you know, so they don't have a covered thing. And then people, as the church grows, they just flow over the edges, you know. I mean, slowly a church will add walls and they'll do different things, but they're doing it themselves. You know, it's a very, but what's happened is what they brought alongside of them is helping them with technology that really serves them for them. The same thing is true. A little Spanish church in Chester, 40 members, has planted 25 churches in the Dominican Republic. And they've done it through with their total budget for all the stuff that they do, including a radio station, is under $5,000 a year. We would be incapable of doing all the stuff that they do for under $5,000 a year. Why do they do it? Well, that's who they are. I mean, they've learned to do a lot with a little. So we need to figure out how to do that. And there's a lot of things that we can do as we go forward. I wanted to pick up just on something, on Jennifer's little presentation that we're hoping can happen over the next couple years with thrift stores, is that the model, we'd like to be able to replicate small thrift stores in different communities in the city. And we're not the thrift store that now exists, which took all these years to develop, but rather what the thrift store was when it was in the basement of the church. And you can use a Philadelphia storefront, a single wide Philadelphia storefront to have that kind of thrift store. When they were in the basement, I think your last year in the basement, you did like $190,000, $200,000 in sales in that little room, which is about the size of this room. Now think about that. $200,000 in sales in a room this size. And they were paying. How many employees did you have at that time? How many full time? Two full time and five, six part timers. So you're providing, some source of income to people in the store, and you were still netting $30,000-$40,000 in net proceeds that went to ministries outside the thrift store itself, right? Mm-hmm.
When you look back, yeah.
30. Yeah, $30,000 that would go for ministry beyond what they were doing in the thrift store. So that kind of model, we think, is a potential to serve churches in many different places in the city. The big thrift store takes real time to develop, but the smaller ones can develop that way. But you got to have people who would really be invested in doing it. It's a labor of love. It requires somebody having a sense of calling for it. You can't be changing management every 6 months. You got to have people who stick with it. But it's a real mercy ministry. When you saw those ripples in the pond of all the little things that are happening today, it's extraordinary what you do. So we think that that's something that can really serve a lot of churches to develop that. And, you know, what's happened over time, one of the things you have to understand with this thrift store is virtually all the goods are brought to them. They don't have to go out searching for stuff. It's brought to them. And literally, a certain percentage of their customers bring bags of stuff, put it on the loading dock before they go in the store to buy stuff. They appreciate the place. They say, you know, I'll give you my goods in order to buy somebody else's goods. And the connection that you have is very profound. And the way you connect to people who are coming through your place, and all of those relationships that Jennifer talked about are phenomenal, but it's a wonderful way to connect to your communities. But there's a lot of little pieces that go with that in terms of what's the best location, you know, how do you need to pull this together. But we're hoping to be able, as we have a MercyNet coordinator, and are able to work with Jennifer as she is more of her time to be freed up to help develop these places, that we hope to see that develop in the future for connection to lots of places. So, yeah, Nelson.
Bill, it seems to me that one of the things that we need to pray about is our calling and our life commitment. I've been a part of this in a certain way. My wife actually did a little bit to help her start. But as we watch, one of the things that was such a blessing was to see Jennifer persevere through all these years. I mean, that brain surgery, it just takes, they got to say that. But she lived it, and many of her friends and family suffered much and suffered for her, and yet she persevered, she continued through that. Stassi changed his life, and she pursued her call. And some of us are in short-term missions. And we need to examine our call before God, and because things will work if we're in it for the long term.
Exactly. Well said. I mean, I think you really need to hear that, because that thrift store wouldn't be here except for a lot of blood, sweat, and tears coming out of commitment. And so having those calls, it's not a calling for everybody. But it is for some, and it's a marvelous way to connect. Brian's a small business starter-upper entrepreneur guy. I mean, he sees this stuff and has a gift in another kind of way that's very special. And we need many people who will come alongside and help those things develop as we go ahead. But, if you had told Jennifer 15 years ago that she would be doing what she's doing now and the thrift store would be what she probably would have taken the fastest plane out of town.
but it was my hiding place to get away from everybody in that closet.
but it's been one day at a time, and how the Lord has blessed it. It's been phenomenal. And you too can be doing that type of thing, following the call that God might put in your life. So, and a lot of Jennifer's passion, as even as I shared with you in the first session, my own passion for mercy ministry comes out of our own pilgrimages. And that's why knowing your pilgrimage and saying what has drawn me to the Lord, what has developed me in the Lord, how has the Lord worked? That's part of the gift of grace to you. As painful as that stuff may be, is nevertheless the place where you found the consolation, restoration of the Lord, and that's now your gift to give to others. And please don't minimize that, because some of the most profound ministry that I know that goes on in the city is ministry born out of brokenness and being made whole. Mm-hmm. God is praised in the middle of that. So we can. That's what makes this whole thing very special. Any other before I close in prayer? Well, I hope you're finding this helpful, and we want to continue to encourage you to let this massage your heart and soak into your DNA, and if you can get new DNA in there, get it in there, you know, whatever it takes to do it. But this is a long walk, but it's a special walk.
And he's a tenderizer of ours, too.
Well, you betcha. Mm-hmm. You betcha. You betcha. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this group of people who you've called to yourself first, some from very challenging places. Lord, when we look at your disciples, they would never have passed most of our corporate tests to get a job, particularly of leadership, and yet it was your grace that transformed them, it was your spirit that empowered them, and it was your plan to use them. And you do that with us too. And we just thank you, Father, for the stewardship of your grace in our life. Father, we thank you for your patience and your long suffering and your tender heart towards us, your compassion, your mercy, the way that you have come to us and brought healing in the midst of so much different stuff out of our lives. And we just want to praise you for that. But we know also, Lord, you want people who, out of gratitude to you for that love, you want us to move into the brokenness of the world around us with that same love. So come to us, Lord Jesus, in that way and encourage us, Lord, that to labor in these places, the world calls it the hardest stuff of life. And who would want to touch that? But you're the one who says that's your very heart for this broken world, that it would be made whole. And so you don't call us to something, but that you also give us the means, the relationships, resources to carry it out. So I pray that you would go with my sisters and brothers as they go from this place. Give them a deep connection in their communities and through their households, through the church. Lord, help them as they would connect to their churches and to the diaconal leadership in their churches for this kind of ministry. And Father, would you, your rich hand of blessing be upon them and what they do for the sake and praise and glory of your Son's name. Mm-hmm. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Ryan, stuff is up here. You're giving this away? He's giving it away.
Whatever. We'll see you on April the 8th. April the 8th.